Okay, good morning. This is the regular meeting of the Finance Committee, July 11th, 9 o'clock. We're all here except the public, nobody here. So, Mark, are you going to tell us about the financial reports?
Yes. Okay, thank you so much. So, we will start today with the financial report. I will run down the highlights for you. And so this is the report for fiscal year 23-24. Again, I mean, this is the best information that we have at the time. It could change as we get caught up with the accounting and as we post more entries for 23-24. I mean, this is just very shortly after the end of the year, but this is a really good picture of 23-24 results. And there's actually some pretty good highlights here. So overall operating revenues, or overall operating results, there was a surplus of $74,000 overall for the district. And that definitely beat the operating budget, which was budgeted at an operating deficit of $485,000. And, you know, this really shows, and I know Mimi talks about it a lot when she's in with her GM reports, but just that focused approach on cost management and prudent use of the district's funds. And so that's definitely evidenced by the actual results here versus budget. All the funds were in the black except for water, and we kind of talked about that a little bit while we were doing the budget process and when we were talking about amending the indirect cost allocation rate. And so after indirect cost allocations, all of the funds were in the black except the water fund. And the water fund actually had a net deficit from operations of about $207,000. As we go down and we look at property taxes, and this kind of dovetails into that, property taxes, we're estimating property taxes to come in at about $903,000. That's a decent chunk over what was budgeted. Budget was $818,000. And the way we've calculated that is, and we talked about this too before, but the district is on the teeter plan, which it's three payments throughout the year from the county for property taxes. The first payment is a December payment, but it typically comes around January or the very beginning of February, and that's supposed to be 55% of the annual property tax for the district. And then the second payment comes around April, and that's supposed to be 40%. And then there's a end of year true up or end of year final payment, and that's about 5%. So the district has received those first two payments, and those amounted to about $873,000. So if we take that and we divide that by 0.95, that actually comes out to about $919,000. We estimated it a little bit lower than that, at just shy of $903,000 to be a little conservative, but that gives you the picture on the property taxes. And as we talked going through the budget process this year and the balanced budget approach, you know, that after covering the operating deficit in the water fund, that would leave about $696,000 that the board could potentially allocate to go to reserves, should it wish to do that. And then we go down to the next section there, and that's the money coming in that's going to go to reserves, and that was $1.55 million for the year. And then we look at capital expenditures, and those are your CIP projects. Those are allocated uses of those reserve funds, and for fiscal 23-24, that's $891,000. So if we were to take the net of the reserve monies coming in and the capital expenditures, it's approximately $654,000 to the positive side for reserves. So I get, and then to kind of put a bow on that, if you were to take that plus those excess property tax monies above what it takes to cover the shortfall in water, you're looking at a potential net reserve augmentation of $1.35 million for 23-24.
Do we have to do a budget adjustment some point in time? It seems like it's premature right now, isn't it?
A budget adjustment for?
To cover of these losses? Or do we have to do anything?
I don't know that you do. I mean, when we get the final financials for fiscal 23-24, we might do a presentation similar to what we did in January for the 2021, where we said, hey, this is what the operating results are, and this is the exact amount of the shortfalls, and does the board want to designate some of these funds to cover those shortfalls, and then specifically allocate the remainder to specific reserves, and then because then we'll have the exact numbers, and then we can do another presentation where the board can specifically designate what funds go where. I think that would be a good approach.
That makes sense. My other question was, can you explain some of these differences between budget and actual?
Sure.
There's seems like there's a big variation in here. Maybe I don't. I'm just trying to figure out why.
There are some big variations. I'm not sure exactly how the budget was done for this year. Probably the one that sticks out to me the most is benefits and pension. And I was trying to run this down this morning, and I know that CalPERS years ago revise their actuarial estimates, and every agency under PERS received a dollar amount that they had to true up their pension liability, and that was spread out over a number of years. And I believe the district has an amount that it needs to account for that. So,
wasn't there also a case where benefits and pension and insurance were in different categories in this budget?
Mm. So insurance in the past, so that's one of the big differences here is insurance expense. And so insurance was originally budgeted under other expense, and then there was a portion of it that was called insurance, and the only part that was actually called insurance was put in the solid waste fund. But that didn't make any sense because Cal Waste has its own insurance. So we went ahead, because it's a pretty significant line item, we went ahead and split that out as its own insurance line item, which is different than the budget for 23-24. In 24-25, we've budgeted insurance as insurance.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons you'll see a big difference there. But it's kind of a switch between the insurance line and other expense.
So there was a small, I guess, difference between what we thought was coming in revenue versus what we got. And there was that same kind of difference in expenses. So if you looked at expenses, I guess we did pretty good with regard to expenses, right?
Yeah, it definitely. And I would point to professional services. There's a big savings there. I know in the past there were a lot of consultants brought in, I think, to try to work on the financials and possibly some other things. So that was significantly less this year, as we've definitely tried to do a lot of this stuff that in the past probably would have been farmed out to consultants. We tried to just handle in-house. Materials and supplies, you know, I mean, that's kind of, I think at the end of last year, possibly, and when I say last year, I'm talking 22, 23, they possibly stocked up on some stuff and maybe didn't need to use as much materials. I don't know if it's possible that some chemical costs may have leveled out a little bit. I think maybe 2 years ago, there was a pretty big spike in inflation and costs of things, and I think that has leveled out over the last year, so that could be a big contributor to that.
Steve, you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go on.
Okay, well, we can shift gears over to CIP. And I'm going to open this up on my computer. So this is, these are, so the way that the CIP is broken out this year, it's a little bit different than last year. And we think that this provides more information. And some of the things that I'll point out that are different, you'll see on the far left, there are the main categories. So you see water is the top category. And then if you go about halfway down the page, you see wastewater is its own section, is the second category. And then within each one of those, so for instance, if we go to water, you see the first category in water is prior year projects that weren't finished and that they're carrying over to 24-25. And then there's one, two, there's four. And then below that, you see proposed projects for 24-25. So those would be the new projects that are being requested. And it's the same under wastewater, except there's two prior year projects coming over, and then there are two new projects coming in. And I think the CIP, I think this committee has discussed CIP at least once before, maybe twice, but definitely in the full board meeting and in improvements. And the initial CIP for 24-25 has been pruned a bit, and operations department has focused on projects that they feel are priority projects that need to get done. And so I can open it up to questions. There was, operations did type up a two-page, like a page and a couple of lines, description of some of these projects and the need. But I will open it up if you guys have any questions or if you'd like to discuss any specific projects.
By the way, Travis was going to be here, but he's in a meeting with the consultant.
Understood.
So he's not coming.
Yeah, and we talked earlier, and I know he's got meetings. He was going to try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we've discussed these CIP projects in the past, and we hadn't come to a conclusion. But personally, I think we ought to officially adopt them. And then see which projects actually are going to get funded, like the wastewater and sodium hypochloride. That has a possibility of going out to bid this year. So I think that needs to be on there as for consideration, because they are planning to get their plans done, so that it could be bid this year and actually the work would start at the right time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, and just for the record, Travis is here now. So do you want to comment on that, the conversion?
No. We just got done with that, and they're going to get everything done so we can get the bids out and get them back to the Improvements Committee if it's approved.
Mm-hmm.
Through the board, so we can get it back to the Improvements Committee and then for board approval in November.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so at the Improvements Committee earlier this month, there was discussion on two critical items. One was the leak in the Grand Lee's Dam area and the pipeline that pumps up to Calero. Do we have any estimate on what that repair is going to be, and should that not be a CIP project for this year, since we have to get that done before November 1st? And the other item was the potential of installing some sort of flow meters for the Rio Oso tank. Again, I have no idea what those would cost, but should that not also be a CIP project on this fiscal year?
Are you okay if I talk?
Yeah, cause I know you had the guys out looking at the leak.
We have a master services agreement with TNT. They're going to come and do phase A, which is to just identify.
To diagnose.
Right. And then once we find that out, we will get a bid packet for that. Since we don't know what it is we're looking at, we weren't going to do anything on the CIP project. But we would be able to, I'm hoping he's going to be out Monday. They're going to get a camera Tuesday, and I'll be able to give a little bit better picture, hopefully, to the board at the board meeting, so we'll have a better idea of what direction to go.
So that might be one, just because we don't know exactly the scope of it, that might be one where we would come to the board and ask to add it later once we know.
Okay. And then, makes sense.
And I would say a lot of these projects are at the level where before they really got underway, they'd have to be presented to the board anyway with a bid and for approval to go ahead. So I think there isn't necessarily a risk that $3.1 million is just going to get spent. You know, it's a lot of these will come back for bid.
And the other question I have is, I know we let a contract to I can't think of Scott's last name on the Grand Lee's project, safety improvement project.
Chastain.
Chastain, yeah, Scott Chastain. Where are we on that project?
So as it sits right now, they're estimating late August, early September for start, because they are actually building the slide gates. He owns his own shop,
right,
and it could be done cheaper and quicker. So we're in the process of, they just did the submittals for him. We're waiting for Joe to sign off on it, and then once they do that, they'll start getting the gates made, and they're still waiting for the beams and stuff. So they're looking at late August, early September.
So Mark, this dollar value of $555,000 spending in this fiscal year, that's projected. We really haven't spent that yet, right?
No, that's going to be projected for 24-25. Okay. Yes, and that's straight off of the bid that was accepted and the contract that's in place.
Okay.
And then just real quick on the Rio Oso flow meters that you asked about. If we go down that direction on our CIP project, we do still have money left in the Rio Oso rehabilitation or improvements. So that could actually fall into that if we wanted to, but a lot of it's going to depend. There has to be figured out where they're going to be installed, and they're trying to figure out a way to do it, to be able to put a meter on there without having to turn the pumps off and have you guys out of water for a day. Joe's doing some work on that, so we won't really have an idea on that until we get a little bit more information.
Okay, thank you.
If you can curse Steve, I'd recommend we send this to the board for approval on the 17th.
Yeah, I concur. These are pretty whittled down. These are pretty basic.
Mm-hmm.
So can I just ask? Oh, it might be a board question to ask. The water treatment plant 2 rehab. I finally, after 3 years, found somebody that'll do that. if I can't find extra, that's because that might be a little niche job. Is that something that I would need to take, get board approval for just a single bid? Or how would that work?
I think the board could approve a sole source bid for the reason that you just stated, that you can't find anybody else.
Because, I mean, I can ask, like Josh, if it got approved, I was going to send it to a few other people, but over the past years on the inquiries, I haven't been able to find anybody. These guys actually found us.
And that's for which project, Travis? I'm sorry.
The Plant 2 filter bed rehab for the repairs and all that stuff. So because not very many people, I mean, it's a very, very old system.
What's the timing on that? What needs to be the timing?
He can add, what we're going to do is, if it gets approved this winter time, when we do, when we take it down for maintenance repairs, we would take it down, I would find out what his time frame is, and then we would just have it down, and while he's doing that work, because he said the work shouldn't take but a week or two, because they'll get everything ahead of time, but while he's doing that work, we'll be doing the other necessary maintenance on plant two. So then it wouldn't be down any much normal time than what it normally is for maintenance.
So you have time to get the bids, get it to the board.
Correct. Yeah. We could, if it's approved, I could talk to, I've already got the general bid from these guys. I can get an updated one, and I can talk to a couple of contractors to see what they're able to do, if anything, because they're going to get the parts from the same place. Yeah. These guys, this is just one of their specialties. So
Travis, currently 2/3 of the water being treated is coming out of plant two. At what point in time do you anticipate being able to switch for a heavier reliance on plant one, where the manganese is not an issue?
Usually that happens around mid-November. I'm sorry, mid-October. Okay. Because we send samples in. We have to do a monthly one for regulations, and then I also do them during the summer once a week. But once we get a non-detect, then we're good to go.
Okay.
And presumably, we'll have some cooler temperature by then, and the demand will be reduced, right?
Correct. Well, and because at that point, I mean, I could, once there's no manganese there, the plant one could do 4 million. So that's not an issue.
Okay. I'm going to talk about schedule.
Pete, before you move off of that, on that issue, do you anticipate that we should be talking in the near term about a pretreatment facility for plant one to address the manganese issue on a longer term basis so that we don't have to rely on plant two so much going into the future?
Yes, at some point we're going to have the conversation. I actually had the engineering students from San Luis Obispo, they as their senior project, actually did a lot of the studies, and they had some good ideas. And so that would be something that we could look at. One of the things I'm looking at is we put in a brand new aeration unit in Chesbro, and right now it's doing pretty good, because normally in this 100 degree weather we would have quite a bit of manganese. We're actually doing pretty good, and this could be as simple as, let's add more aeration to Chesbro versus green sand pretreatment, take down plant two and make them sed basins type of situation. So this new aeration, we're kind of fingers crossed seeing, but we're just starting into the summer.
Did those students project any costs for alternatives?
They did. That was all part of that. They did from A to Z. And what I can do is, if you'd like, is I can forward those to you. You can look at them, or when the time comes, they can just be a tool in our tool belt.
Yeah, I just think it would be appropriate as as you refine the data, especially with the improvements on the aeration system, that I obviously ought to go back through improvements first.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I'm thinking we may be facing something here in terms of CIP project, either for expanding pretreatment or maybe not if the aeration stuff works.
Yeah. Mimi had briefly talked to me for a few minutes. Tell him I'll be right there. Thank you. Mimi had talked to me a little bit about it a couple weeks ago. So this is something that she's also, it's in the back of her mind too.
Okay. Thank you, Travis.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about your schedule?
Sure. Thanks, Travis. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Travis.
So we've talked about this a little before, this was presented at the last board meeting, but I just wanted to discuss it here at the Finance Committee. So I don't think it's any secret that the financial records are a bit of a challenge. So after being here about 7 months now and kind of getting into it and working through a lot of the different challenges and different issues, and I mean, we've made a lot of progress on a lot of fronts, but it's getting these prior fiscal years caught up. It's just there's a lot of data and there's a lot of work that needs to go into it. It's very doable, but it's the kind of work that requires focus and attention to get it right. And really to do it efficiently. And so what we've come up with here is a plan that it's a bit of an aggressive plan, but I think it's doable. And I feel like every year that we get closed, we'll have that much more information and we'll start really refining our process to move forward. Kind of like a snowball rolling downhill, right? And so what we've proposed here is a schedule where we get, so there's basically 3 years that need to be closed, 21, 22, 22, 23, and 23, 24 this year that just ended. And so what we're putting out there is a timetable where we take basically a quarter, 3 months, and we focus on each one of these years in turn, get all the accounting squared away, get all the records squared away, get the auditors out here. The audits should be fairly efficient when the records are clean and organized and squared away, and the auditors aren't having to do a ton of extra research and ask a ton of extra questions, and then staff is having to go and try to figure things out and fix things. I think that year, 2021, I can't remember how many journal entries there were as a result of the audit and consultants being here, but I think it was possibly in the 80s plus. And I, myself, probably posted 20 or 30 more journal entries to get that cleaned up. So that takes a lot of time. That's why that audit took 18 months or however long it took. So the plan here is to just stay focused and work through these prior fiscal years with as little other things happening as possible. And so the request is to go to a quarterly finance committee and board presentation for accounting and finance to just allow that time to stay focused. And so what we're hoping is the next time we meet and present will be in October, at which time we'll present the Q1 24-25 results, and we're hoping that we can also present the 21-22 audit. Okay, at the very least, we should be able to present the draft of what the financials will look like for that year. Okay, and then the next time after that would be a quarter later, so it would be in January, where we would present the Q2 results for 24-25. And then the 22-23 audit, okay? And then in April, at the April meeting, we would present the Q3 24-25 results, financial results, and then the 23-24 audit. And then that would start us on the timetable of budget time, which is a pretty labor-intensive time. And it's important that we get these 3 years closed and finished before we get into budget season again, because the budget is very labor intensive, and it kind of just sucks all the oxygen out of the room for accounting and finance. And if we're able to do this, and again, I do think this is doable, if we are able to do this, then by this time next year, we'll be caught up. And then the 24-25 audit would be happening sometime like August or September, and which is, you know, the normal timing of things. And then we would be back on track with clean financial records, caught up on all the audits. The system would be working the way it's supposed to. We'd be closing the books every month the way that you should be. And, you know, hopefully in our accounting system, we would just be running a report for this meeting rather than running a report, dumping it into Excel, scrambling around, trying to figure out all the stuff that's not in there and should be in there, and correcting issues from prior years that have carried over, and kind of manually cobbling together this Excel report that we have been looking at, which I, you know, this is a good report, but it's, you know, it's not where it should be. So that's the hope, is to take this time and to go to a quarterly schedule for this period between now and April to get caught up, and then obviously we would go back to the monthly schedule after that, and everything should be scored away.
Mark, do you anticipate with this schedule having a proposed budget in April?
When was the first time the proposed budget came out? Wasn't that May? Was that May or was that April?
I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that late a date. I think in prior years we started February, March, actually.
Okay.
Years before you and Mimi got here.
Okay.
Now, that being said, 1 year, what we did in February and March was useless because there was, anyway, some difficulty with the consultants.
Yeah.
But that's the one concern I have, is whether we should actually resume monthly meetings in March to have some preliminary discussions so that we can shoot for having a proposed budget in April. That gives us, you know, basically a month to refine it, and then a month to post before we approve it.
That's fair. That's totally fair, and I appreciate that. And yeah, that's so what we would do then, anything that's required for the budget to get prepared ahead of time, we can definitely come in and do a presentation for that. But then there just won't be like a monthly financial statement. It would just be budget focused, and that's fine. I mean, and obviously that's important. We gotta be teed up for the budget.
And the other thing is, I like having this projected time frame for getting the audits to us. That's been a festering wound for a long time. I think it justifies not having monthly meetings, but, you know, financial accountability, you know, was a primary concern of this community when I got appointed to the board, and we've made great strides with your efforts and Mimi's efforts. So I don't want to undermine the credibility, but I think justifying it with, okay, we put you off a couple months, here's a quarterly report, oh, and here's the audit. I think it's a great 1-2 punch.
Thank you. Thank you. That was the plan, so thank you very much.
Yep, I see it. This reflects the fact that the audits are a priority, and to meet that goal, that we don't use your time every month to give us some report, because if the audit's going to be priority, then we have to follow the schedule. I'm glad you did it, and I don't know, I don't know if this has to go to the board or not, but
I don't know that it does. I haven't gotten any indication that it needs to. I know it was in the GM report for the board last time,
yeah.
And everybody seemed amenable to it. So I think we could just go to it.
Modifications of committee schedules have been handled by the GM. There was some discussion, you recall, Martin, last spring, when Mimi wanted to cancel some meetings, and we had some discussion because there were some objections. But I think that was the only reason that really got brought to the board.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my understanding as well.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Just with the only revision, April goes to March. Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There's no public to have comments. Do you have anything you want to add?
I'm just going to say, with that caveat, obviously you wouldn't have quarter three report in a March meeting.
Right. The quarter three report would still be in it. So basically it would be this.
It was really more to get us online starting to talk about budget prep.
It would be this same schedule. Thinking. We would just draw a little line or put another bullet point in between the January and April bullet. And that would be preliminary discussions on budget.
March.
Yep.
I like it. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have anything to add, Mark?
I don't have anything to add. Thank you very much.
Sounds like we're adjourned. Thanks.